Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Sashi Brown, live on Cleveland Browns Daily right now. Sashi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nate.
Yes, we've been trying to get you on this show. The kid, by the way, very unhappy that he's not here in studio today. He said, how's this not being scheduled on a Friday? But we've been trying to get you on the show for a long time, and you've always shoot us off. And now, with your new role, you've got to be with us. So I got to ask you, first big press conference.
Sure.
How did it feel out there?
Paul and I were excited to come out and talk to the fans. You know, we've been busy on the coaching search. Player personnel search is still going on, but we wanted to take some time before I head down to Mobile next week and set our vision and share a little bit of why the decisions were made to set up this structure, who Paul is, who I am, and how we'll move forward. So it was good.
Did you dream about this moment? I mean, at what point in your career did you even think that something like this was possible for you to become the executive vice president of football operations, have control over a 53-man roster in the National Football League? There are only 32 people on the planet that can make that comment, and you are one of them.
And you want to be quarterback.
No, only in the fourth quarter. Fourth
right,
quarter.
Matt?
No.
This is so
no, hold
true.
On. Fourth
he
quarter
lives it
of
every
the
day.
Fourth preseason game. One series. That's all I want. And we can do for charity. I'll sign away all liability. That's all I want. But that's neither here nor there. When did this come? When did you even start to think that this was possible for you? And is it something that you always aspired to do?
No, it's been more of a natural progression for me. I think people that know my background know that I had both a business and football role here. And over time, you know, more of my time has been spent on the football side. And it was fairly natural. I think when we stepped back with Jimmy and with D at the end of the year and figured out where we needed to go, what was missing, that there was a skill set that I fit in terms of where we're heading, in terms of making the best strategic decisions, that is a strength of mine. And you know, I look forward to the opportunity. So no great plan. You know, listen, when I was younger, I used to dream of being Daryl Green. That was my guy. Daryl Green or Isaiah Thomas, but
you've got that smooth jumper with the big stride. Very smooth.
Yeah.
Sashi, my question is, and it was the question was asked downstairs just moments ago about who was studied, who was Jimmy studying in regards to, you know, baseball teams, hockey teams, NBA teams, and the process that they, you know, utilize to take in information. But I guess it's different from that. My question is for you, who do you look to throughout the National Football League as organizations that year after year, and it might not necessarily be just playoff teams, but teams that are doing it right, building through the draft, you know, judiciously spending money via free agency and not spending significant money, that you admire both now and will consistently look to year after year and kind of see what's trending in our own backyard so that you can create some type of competitive advantage?
Yeah, we don't have to go very far. In fact, don't even really have to get too far outside of our division. You look at Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati, all those guys have a way. I referenced this earlier. But when you look at Cincinnati, Mike Brown, Katie, Duke Tobin, Marvin Lewis have a system. When you go to Ozzie and Eric and John Harbaugh, Dick Cass down in Baltimore, they've got a culture and organization they've built, and certainly in Pittsburgh, they're steeped in it with the Rooneys and Tomlin. And so we can stay right in the vision and learn a ton. I do think you learn from both the great teams and also the teams that struggle. We'll learn a lot from our own mistakes. We'll also look outside our organization to see how teams are building. We will be a team that builds through the draft largely. But we certainly will take our shots in free agency elsewhere and learn from what organizations are doing, hopefully with the intent that we're staying a step ahead of them.
When you talk about free agency, do you have any, and I know strategic thinking and processes, guardrails, are something that you've excelled at, and that's why you've gotten to this position. Do you have, because a lot of people are asking right now, I've given the hashtag AskSosh out there, which people are blowing up on Twitter right now, but do you have a philosophy about free agency in terms of, I will not sign players at a certain age, or I will sign players regardless of age? What's your overall philosophy and approach to free agency?
No, I think, listen, you want value is the main approach, but we will use it probably more sparingly than certain other teams who tend to lean on it more heavily. We want to build, identify young players, bring them in, make sure they understand the way we do things here, coach them within Hugh's system, find a spot for them, develop them over a period of years. And, you know, if they're draftees, we'll have them for four. If they're undrafted, we'll have them for three. And then extend those players and make sure that we retain a core of players that understand the Browns' way of doing things. And fit our system, and we know them. I mean, free agency has, you know, great risk to it. And so you're spending a lot of money on players that you're less familiar with and haven't fit in your system. So you're going a little bit right off the bat against the grain. And a big piece of what my job is to manage that risk, because we only have 53 slots and a limited amount of cap room. And so what we want to do is make sure that we're utilizing it in the wisest way possible.
When you and Paul were up there, one of my key takeaways was that here are two highly intelligent people that are motivated for success, ultra-competitive, want to work together and figure out the best way to get there. But what really stood out to me was that both of you were comfortable in what you knew, but also in what you don't know. What do you think is, for you personally, between now and the time that you sit there with the final decision-making authority over your first draft in the National Football League, what's the most important thing for you to learn?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. I think anybody in a position like this, the most dangerous thing you can do is believe that you have all the answers. And neither Paul or myself believe our role is to be that person. I think our role is to make sure that we put processes in place that we get to the best possible decisions. At the end of the day, listen to all the relevant sources, whether that's our personnel staff, and we will trust and lean heavily on them. We've got some really talented scouts on our staff. We'll be adding vice president of player personnel. Put a system in place to make sure that we weigh all the medical, all the character, all the background, and then obviously evaluate the players for who they are on the football field, and then make that decision at that time. And I'm confident that we have the people in this building and with the folks that we'll add, along with you, along with Paul, that we'll have really robust discussion and get to the right place. There's no question about it. And you're right. I mean, my job isn't to have all the answers. My job is to get all the information to make the best decisions moving forward.
And to kind of piggyback that question and go back to what you said in regards to the Browns' way of doing things, and I guess for those listening out there, you know, they've been sold this before. They've heard process, you know, many times in the last 16 years since coming back in 1999. Is that something that you would think that obviously, you know, retaining some of the players on this roster via free agency, that through the draft and ultimately adding those 90 individuals that collectively we feel is the start of training camp, that Browns way of doing things will be very much defined but constantly evolving moving forward by training camp?
Yeah, I do. I mean, we're racing forward. I mean, you know, unfortunately, with the transition in both personnel and coaching, we spent literally 3 weeks interviewing folks, and we're chomping at the bit right now to get to work. And our plan is to try to, as quickly as possible, start building these systems and processes. And we have some in place, but we'll also enhance those and create new ones that'll help us get to whether it's player development. You know, someone asked me a question about medical care. We've got some really talented people in this building. We'll tap into those folks, their talents, and start building the Browns way, so to speak.
One of the questions we're getting a lot, and are there any updates on retaining some of the key impending free agents for the Browns, Travis Benjamin, Mitchell Schwartz, are the top two that come to people's mind?
Yeah, so we've talked to both guys, agents. They understand, thankfully, Derek Gilmore for Mitch Schwartz and Ron Butler for Travis. And we've had good discussions with them. They understand we've got to get through a couple weeks here, land the coach, get him in, get his staff hired, which is quite a process, and get this vice president of player personnel. And then we'll resume discussions with them and see if we can reach a deal for both those players.
Do you feel a sense of urgency to get the vice president of player personnel in place before you go down to the Senior Bowl and really start to get into evaluations?
You know, as I said, we absolutely want to get going. But more importantly for us,
get the right guy.
Is to get the right guy. But we have met with some really talented people, and we feel good about where we're heading, and that we'll find an excellent personnel man to be our vice president of PP.
You've said many times, and you know, Hugh has said it, you've said it, Paul said it, and Jimmy especially has said it, that there's a challenge ahead for this franchise to get it to go where it wants to go. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking you, as a man that has, again, a heavy hand in this situation, what excites you most about this process? Because yeah, the promotion is great, but also comes a lot of work. But what excites you about that work that makes you come in here each and every day to put forth the effort to ultimately see through a plan that you're creating as we speak?
Honestly, the dog pound. I mean, I look forward to seeing the dog pound light up when we get a team that I probably can't use the term.
Competes.
but a team that competes and you know, takes us back to the 80s. I mean, I will share with you guys, I grew up, I actually was a fan of watching because my brother was a Cowboys fan, and I was just overly competitive, probably unhealthily so. But my AFC team was the Browns. I mean, Minifield, Langhorne, Ozzie, Ernest Biner, Kevin Mack. I mean, I used to root hard. I remember my heart just breaking when, you know, the fumble happened, and rooting against those damn Broncos in the Super Bowl. So I look forward to, you know, turning this around mostly for the fans and for the city. You know, they deserve it. It's been a long time since we've had a consistent winner, or really any winner here.
Yeah.
And that's the most exciting piece for me.
Well, I would imagine then the most exciting piece for you will be this finding the quarterback, whether he is here and you can develop him or it is somewhere else. Would you agree when you were talking about impact positions, there is no greater impact position in the National Football League than quarterback?
Agree.
Okay. When you look at this draft, without naming names, do you believe there are any franchise quarterbacks in this draft?
Well, I'm not going to get into evaluating the players yet. We'll get through our process, Nate. Hold on there. I know you're excited.
I got to be excited.
We'll keep your name on the list.
No. I'm too. My day
Mr.
has come.
Mr. Irrelevant?
Yeah, Mr. Irrelevant. I could be Mr. Irrelevant. We got 11 picks.
Way too high.
It's way too high. Yeah. Priority free agent. Well, come on. Relax. Here's one last one. Dustin Puritan asks, how does one become the next Sashi Brown?
Ooh. You better ask Paige Brown. She probably has the best answer, and it's probably not pretty, the process. I'm humbled by the opportunity, really honored to lead this franchise. It's one of the great ones, and I look forward to working with everybody here in the building to bring the city back what it had at one point, which is a championship ball club. And so, you know, this won't be about me. This will be about Cleveland. This will be about the Browns.
Sashi, thank you so much. I'm sure you're getting your fill of media these days. Get back to work out there, and thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Sashi Brown, Executive Vice President of Football Operations for the Cleveland Browns, was our guest there. We'll be back. Open up the phone lines to your reaction on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.